The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. There's an old song from the 1970s which some of us will remember. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. We hear a familiar laugh. Oh, we remember this. And actually, there's a lot of wisdom in this. Even though it may not be quite what they intended when they did the song. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, you know. This time of year, it's a time when people like to be with the people they love. They want to be with their family, their close friends. They can, you know, get together at Christmas, New Year, Thanksgiving too. And when someone close to us is away, we miss them. And if somebody's died, you know, maybe in this last year, and it's our first holiday without them, it's really, we feel it acutely. You know, the person's died and we've always been with them. Here they are gone, or we're separated, they've left us, or we've left them, or something, or they're just away. We miss people at this time of year more. And we all know what it's like to be separated from people we love. Half the songs are written about being away, separated, abandoned, you know. I've got tears in my ears from lying awake crying over you. It's one of my favorites. It's just endless. Endless food for that kind of songs, feeling, you know, emotion, stirring it up. And it's kind of, it's fine. It's one of the causes of suffering that Buddha talks about. There's old age, sickness, and death, and as being separated from those we love, and being with those we do not love, people we don't like at all. And we know that too. But it's also, of course, a great opportunity to train. Being away from people we love, being with those we don't. Working on our pining for something else, somebody else to be here, something else, some other situation, for things to be other than what they are. Once again, a ripe field of training. Love the one you're with. Well, how about being with the one you're with? It would seem, you know, that with this constant internet, telephone, smartphone, everything, connection, that everybody's with somebody other than the one they're with. They're talking to somebody else, they're texting somebody else, they're listening to somebody else, they're looking up their emails or their text messages from somebody else. And that kind of cuts out whoever they're with right now. We hear of all the kids at the dinner table rushing off to text their friends and not being here with, you know, the family. And I've got a feeling this is quite common. And to do that, you're shutting out the people you're with. You're not with the one you're with. You're with somebody else. Or with your idea of somebody else. And I think I've heard that another consequence of this is that people get uncomfortable for being face-to-face with people. They're more comfortable at a distance. They feel just too close for comfort. If I'm nose-to-nose with the person, we see them and they see us. And being seen can be frightening for people. You know, we think, I don't want to be seen. You know, people will see my horrible faults, shortcomings, awfulnesses, mistakes, nastinesses, my dreadful, horrendous karma. And if we're at a distance, we feel we have more control over what people will see of us. We can work on our little text message or whatever before we send it out. We don't just spit out something not very smart. You can create a persona, a whole image of oneself, you know. But it's not the reality. It's personas dealing with personas rather than people dealing with people if you're not careful. I think everybody has this persona thing to some extent. You know, we think about our appearance, how we appear to others. You would like to look capable and smart and kind and wise and intelligent and, in charge at least of ourselves, if nothing else. And one of the great benefits of training is that we begin to relax more with that. We're not quite so worried about what other people think of us. I think it's part of the benefits of age, actually. As you get older, you don't worry so much. But training, too, really helps with this worry about how we appear to others, what they think of us. We relax with ourselves more. We begin to notice that actually we're pretty much like everybody else. We're not especially wonderful. We're not especially dreadful. We're just fairly normal. And it's a huge relief. We don't have to be especially awful or especially wonderful. We can just be normal. And this helps a whole lot, actually, because it helps us to see how we're all connected to each other. It's not the specially little bad me over here or the specially wonderful little me over here. It's more like just me along with everybody else. And we're all together here in the same human boat. Just human beings in this human body, fragile human body, just trying to make the most of it or the best of it, with birth, old age, sickness and death, and all the other things that come along with human life, that we're not that different, that we are all connected, just being with each other. No one is exempt from suffering. No one can keep death at bay or sickness, really, when it comes down to it. And the more people try, the miserabler they get, because it doesn't work. So as we can relax within this frail human body and within our just being a regular person, we can see how, yes, we are all connected, and actually it's not that bad. It could be worse. Here we are all together making the best of our life. And we can begin to love the one we're with, whoever they may be, no matter who they are. Maitreya, the loving one. His name means the loving one. Maitri, loving kindness. He exemplifies loving kindness. I'm looking at him. That's one of his aspects. That's another one. He's perfecting his virtues up there on the altar. There's different ways of looking at him, but there's always the loving kindness that comes through. Non-judging, loving kindness to all beings, not just the nice people. Well, loving kindness can sound a bit gushy, But it's not a gushy thing. It's much deeper than emotion and feeling. It's something we practice. It's one of the Brahma Viharas, the four immeasurables, the divine abodes. There's compassion, loving kindness comes first, actually. Then compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. These are the four divine abodes. They're immeasurable because each of them is much bigger than we are. We cannot contain compassion or loving kindness or sympathetic joy, or even equanimity. It comes through us because it's something we practice and allow to come through rather than something we have and control. We just allow ourselves to open up to it and let it come through. And it's not a gushy thing. There's a universal aspect to loving kindness because it shines on everybody. We're not just kind to the people we like. We try to practice loving kindness to everybody. And it also has a personal aspect. It's not like, oh, I love everybody, but I can't stand my neighbor or my boss, We actually do have to apply it to individual human beings, not just a general idea of humanity. I love humanity. I hope they would be completely happy. I just can't bear that person. No. There's something missing. So we try to apply it to our life, to the people we're with. Love the one you're with. Not in the kind of emotional pop song way, but in a deeper way. We are all human beings in this boat together, and we can apply loving kindness. Many Buddhists practice loving kindness meditation. We don't necessarily, it's not in our tradition. In the Theravada tradition, they do it more. And there's a loving kindness practice where first you apply it to yourself. May I be peaceful, well and happy, free from suffering. Then you apply it to others, to your family, your friends, people you don't know, strangers, or you don't know that much, people you don't like, don't get along with, and finally to all beings. But we start with ourselves, because otherwise we're putting ourselves in a separate category. You know, everybody needs loving kindness, but I don't need it, I'm okay. Or, more likely, I don't deserve loving kindness. I can give it to other people. And if I give it to other people, then maybe I'll become more deserving myself. But actually, we have to start here to practice kindness and love, actually, to ourselves. This isn't the same as self-indulgence or self-partiality. You know, I'm the center of the universe and what I want matters more than anything. It's acceptance, really, of ourselves with all our faults, foibles. To have that love for one's own way we are, really, as if we could love another being. Because otherwise we're separating ourselves from other people. If I'm worse than everybody, or I'm better than everybody, I don't need loving kindness, or I don't deserve it, then we're separate. Everybody else has this, I don't. But if we apply kindness to ourselves, just like to anybody else, then we're not making ourselves separate, special in some way, whether specially good or specially awful. Ill will. Loving kindness is the antidote to ill will. When we're not with the people we love, with the people we don't love, and loving kindness is a very good way of helping us with that. It doesn't cover it up. Oh, I love everybody. I love them really. You know, it's we see that ill will and just try to let it go, restrain it, at least not bite. If all we can do is to keep our mouth shut and not say something unkind to somebody, well, that's a start. It's a good start. And to be able to think, even wishing to have a kind thought about somebody, even we think, I wish there was something about this person I could like. Well, even that is a start, you know. It's better than saying, I just can't stand this person and I'm glad I can't stand them. You know, that's just too dismal for words. But just to wish to have that loving kindness thought arise is a start, because we're turning our heart towards kindness. Kicking and screaming we may be, but we're trying to do something. We're trying to soften the heart. We're trying to turn towards kindness. And that's actually not to be sniffed at. It's good. Love the one you're with, even when you're mad at them. You know. We don't have to try to make ourselves feel loving. You know, like I love everybody, or I love this person, I don't know. It's something that actually arises naturally. And with training, that ill will does diminish. And the loving kindness does naturally come forth, because it's not ours. We're just opening ourselves up to it and letting it come through. And it does it all by itself in a way, in a certain way, and yet we do need to allow it to come forth. There's two things. We have to let it come through, turn the heart towards it, but not try to create it. Although sometimes it's all we can do to say, well, can I think of one nice thing about this person? You know. But just the wish the wish to think kindly of somebody. The wish to think kindly of people we don't know, people we're afraid of, you know. To speak kindly to another, even someone you don't know, just buying gas or, you know, at the checkout counter or at work, somebody we don't know very well, just to say hello and be friendly. It goes a long way, actually. Dogen, yes. Of course, I meant to bring this and forgot. Tenderness can have a revolutionary impact upon the mind of man. Tenderness is the same as loving kindness. A kind word to somebody, or a kind word about somebody, you know, makes a big impact. It helps the world. If we're kind, if we allow kindness to come forth naturally, it has a huge effect, wider than we know. As we know, if we're angry, it doesn't help anybody, and other people get mad back at us and so forth. But kindness works the same way. If we practice kindness, especially if somebody else is crabby with us, and we don't take it personally, we just let it go by or just respond kindly, it makes a big difference. It helps them out of that painful hole of anger, unhappiness, whatever it might be. It may not be about us at all. We just happen to be the person there. You can respond kindly rather than get upset too. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Well, there's somebody we're always with, and that's us. We're always with us. We can't get away from us. Wherever you go, there you are. So we might as well get along with us. Otherwise, life is pretty hard. And part of that, as I said, is accepting us, ourselves, as we are, and doing the training. The best way we can show love for ourselves is to practice the Dharma, because it is the medicine for all suffering. It really helps us in our life. As we all know, because we've seen it at work, we feel better than we did before we began. And we know that the practice of the Dharma is the one thing that is the most precious. It is the thing we can do for ourselves, the way we can actually show the real love for ourselves, practicing the Dharma in all its aspects. And kindness is just one of them. And as I said, it's not selfishness to love oneself. It's the true love for oneself is to help us to be unselfish, to relinquish selfishness, because selfishness does not make us happy, it makes us miserable. Kindness, helping other beings or thinking of other beings, makes us much more happy. There's a quote from the Dalai Lama about that, and I'm trying to remember it. If we want something for ourselves, we're miserable. If we want to help others, we're happy. Something like that. And there's another thing. There is that within us that we're always with. Buddha nature, that person, as Dogen, as Kaizen calls it, with capitals, that person, that one that guides us, our own true nature, is always with us. We are part of it. It is all of us. It's always here. And to love that, to turn towards that, our own true nature, our innate goodness, and showing kindness to others is just one aspect of that. Showing kindness to ourselves is another aspect of that. And turning towards that, making that the most important thing in our life, turning towards the Dharma, turning towards the unborn, the uncreated, however we want to call it, that one, that's the best gift we can give to ourselves and actually to anybody. To practice the Dharma, to turn towards that, not just as a duty, but to love that. And it's not something you create, but it's just something we do, something we practice, something we foster and allow to grow. To keep turning towards that through thick and thin, no matter who we're with, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what may have happened to us or be about to happen, or that we're in the middle of, to keep turning towards that, which is the true friend, as it were, the true being that helps us in all the conditions of our lives. To turn towards that. This is Maitreya. That one that is within us. He within the darkened hall. The darkened hall means within us. To turn towards that one with love and with joy and with faith. That's our talk for today. Thank you.